just easy umbrella.
You're tuned into the Tears of the Gods sound collage, only here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and we have got a really freeform mix of music and commentary for you this evening. Our theme is experimental, psychedelic, and Somerville, and we just heard The Orb with Towers of Dub from their UF Off. The Best of the Orb. And I also mixed in a bit. Well, actually going on right now underneath me is also their song Outlands from that same Best of the Orb album. So we have got at this 9 o'clock hour just one more long set for you. It's a pretty experimental mix, I'd say. And it's also going deep into a couple of musical areas. In particular, we're going to be hearing a couple of songs from the Baka Forest people of southeastern Cameroon on selections from the Spirit of the Forest and the Heart of the Forest CDs. We're also going to be hearing three long tracks from the German electronic band going way back. They're the 70s, and they're actually continuing on to this very day, albeit with none of their original founders who have all passed away. But three long pieces from Tangerine Dream's Dream Roots collection coming up. Also, we're going to be hearing from Jimi Hendrix, another selection from his latest 2018 album, Both Sides of the Sky. And that will all be our bed for an interview with Somerville City Councilor Wilfred Mba, who is from Cameroon, in fact, and he was interviewed on our sister station, WMBR 88.1, first on your FM dial here in the greater Boston area, by anarchist journalist, reporter Chuck U. Rosina. And we're going to start off this set with something about the Dogs of Somerville by a Somerville resident, Deb Hen Conant. And this came to us, comes to you, as it came to me on Chuck U's D. 06, and it all begins right now. Yeah, right now.
I'm gonna tell you a little story now. I'm gonna tell you a little story about the dogs in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know what? I live in a neighborhood where the dogs run free. I live on a street where I can walk outside on my porch any morning and I can see the dogs of Somerville, Massachusetts. I can see them as they are running to work. And you know, I'll tell you something about these dogs. Some of these dogs are still wearing hard hats. Those are the blue-collar dogs. But things are changing in my neighborhood. A lot of the dogs are going back to school to get their pedigrees. They're shaving their whiskers. They're wearing color-coordinated coats. Some of them won't even wear fur. Oh, yes. Yeah! These are the dogs in my neighborhood. They're macho. And yet, they are sensitive. And they have a little tune that they sing as they're coming down the street and round the corner. Now, I want to sing that song to you now. And while I'm singing, I want you to imagine that you too are the dogs of Somerville. Imagine that you see the world from about a foot and a half off the ground. Imagine that it's Tuesday, because Tuesday is garbage day in Somerville and the world smells like heaven. And imagine, if you will, that you can scratch your ear with your foot. Yeah, doesn't that feel good? Yeah. And as you come around the corner and down the street, you sing a little song. It's oh so sweet. And it goes like this. Ooh, it goes. We are the macho dogs of Somerville, USA. Sniff and we fight and we play. We frighten all the kitty cats every time we say, you better bow wow out of our way. You better be gone. You better bow wow out of our way. Oh, oh, oh. We are the macho dogs of Somerville, USA. We sniff and we fight and we play. We frighten all the kitty cats every time we say, you better bow wow out of our way. You better be gone. You better bow wow out of our way. We're coming. You better sound wow, 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 the call to everybody, wow, 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 though you meet, cause we are the macho dogs of Somerville, USA. We sniff and we fight and we play. We frighten all the kitty cats every time we say, you better bow, wow, out of our way. Come on and sing along with me. You better bow, wow, out of our way. Can you sing along with me? Bow, wow, out of our way. To howl like you are howling at the moon. Are you ready to howl? All right. You better bow wow out of our way. Let me hear you. That is right.
Technical issues solved. We got music in both channels. We got headphones working for two people. Currently listening to African music from Tunde Junje. Still Moment, the title track of his album. And tends to serve as a backdrop for a little bit. I'll introduce you to your city councilor. That is, if you live in Somerville. Welcome to WMBR. Wilfred.
Thank you.
And you have to get a little closer to the mic. Okay. Now can we hear you? Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck.
There you are. It's good to have you here. You're a city council at large in Somerville, and a lot of our listeners live in Somerville. In fact, so do many of our station members, but that's not a surprise, being Cambridge is so close to Somerville. You have an interesting background. Born and raised in Cameroon, and that's not a long way from Somerville. How did you wind up from there to here? In a nutshell, I know it's a long story, but...
Yeah, okay. First, thank you for having me here, Chuck. This is good. It's really an honor. And also for the welcome music. I wasn't expecting that, but it's really cool.
Thank you.
So the condensed version about how I end up in, you know, some of it from Cameroon is... I was born and raised in Cameroon, studied there until my undergrad. Then after my undergrad, I moved to Sweden for for grad school, and then while in Sweden, before I completed my graduate degree, I was able and fortunate to win the American Diversity Lottery. So that's how I was able to immigrate to the United States. And
do we still have that?
Yeah. Okay. Fortunately, it's still there.
Okay. Trump hasn't killed that one yet.
No. I mean, like, fingers crossed.
Well, congratulations on getting in on that.
Thank you, Chuck.
And you came here, you spent some time in Taunton, but you wound up here in Somerville. And you got involved, as an immigrant, you got involved in local politics and are now a city councilor. What drove you to get involved in local politics?
It's a very excellent question. I think I've always loved being involved in my community anywhere I am. So activism, it's something that I can say is part of my DNA, just to be, you know, like civilly engaged, you know, making a difference in any community that I feel at home. So it's like the old saying in Cameroon, home is where you feel at home. So when I moved to Somerville, I really loved it. And I thought that the only way, you know, that I can know the community better is to be involved in, you know, civic engagement, go to meetings, contribute, you know, in community service. When there's any issues that pertain to community service, you always find me there. So that is how I got involved. But what actually, you know, made me, you know, go into politics or run for office was just the fact that I kept moving from one apartment to another. Like, the rising rent was something that I could not imagine. Like, how you come to a community, you're struggling to live, and it's so tough. Like, the first thing I even applied for, like, when I moved to the city without a job, was mass help. Because someone said, hey, well, maybe you should apply for mass health because you don't have a job and you're like a permanent resident if you fall sick, you know. And then I applied, but I was rejected. They said I wasn't below 21 and I didn't have a dependent. So it's kind of like really, you know, tricky to realize how tough the situation is, you know. That was like the first shock to me. But nevertheless, you know, I kept moving from one apartment to another. I actually moved 5 times in 6 years due to rising rents.
Wow.
Yeah, so
man, that's a lot of moving.
That is true. And I told myself that I think it would be nice to run for office to make a difference and to talk about this, because you cannot just complain and not do anything. A lot of people just have moved out of the city because they thought the rents are too high. But I told myself that if I move out, like most people have moved out, I don't matter anymore for those in office to worry about me. So I'd rather run and, you know, make a difference in the community, because I just wonder how many people are out there, you know, struggling with affordability, and yet we don't see any move, like the needle doesn't move any inch. So
no, well, you managed to make a place for yourself in Somerville, even with the high rents. You managed to get into the community and you were able to stay there. Plus, you connected enough with the community that you ran for a citywide seat and won.
That is right.
So, obviously, you reached out to the community and they, in turn, have supported you in your endeavors.
That is right.
So,
And I must say that this is actually, you know, like I said, I did not know I was going to win, even though I'd had people encourage me to do that and said I can make a difference. I myself, I saw that also as a plus, that I could actually contribute, you know, and just seeing how much, you know, like, people want to be in that community, people want to live there, but just everyday life, the struggle, like, you know, just be able, I don't even think that there's, people talk about, like, the jobs, that they saw. There's a lot of jobs in the city, but there are a lot of low-wage jobs. So we don't even have, like, and I don't think that you should live in a city like Somerville, work for 40 hours and still be struggling to live. So there's been a lot of these challenges that nobody talks about it. Nobody really thinks about this thing. You know, people of modest means like you and me, you know, cannot afford to live in the city anymore, even if we want to. So, and the only way to make a difference is to, you know, like, put your hat in the ring and try to make things better.
And you've done that. And affordable housing is obviously one of your passions.
That is right.
And some of your Cambridge, Boston, surrounding communities have been steadily rising in real estate. The American dream of home ownership is out of reach for a lot of working class and young people. In fact, rents are so high that working class people who are lived in Cambridge and Somerville actually are forced out of their communities because they can't afford to live there anymore.
Right.
So you say it's a passion of yours. What can actually be done to alleviate this problem of high rents and high prices of real estate?
I mean, Chuck, this is a complex, you know, like, issue. And, you know, like, with the passion that I ran, thinking that I was going to solve the world's problem in affordability, but now it's like when the rubber meets the road, it's like, so I know that fundamentally, we want to acquire knowledge and help other people. And so one of the things we've done, you know, on the front of affordability is, first of all, try to even, you know, like, reduce displacement, because you cannot separate that, you know. And so we created the Office of Housing Stability and fully staffed it just to make sure that everyone that is vulnerable for displacement or is struggling, you know, with housing can actually have a place to go and have people, you know, look after them. And also, I know that, you know, like one of my friends that told me that the problem, you know, with homelessness is to build more housing. So it's like, yeah, it sounds like really, like that's common sense, but it's not that common.
Well, there's not that much space in Somerville to build more.
That is right. So, you know, and I think also it's like a regional approach that we need to take. It's not just a problem in Somerville, because I just think that, you know, you don't want Somerville to become like a repository for all the other neighboring cities to start moving, you know, like to Somerville to look for housing there. So we pass a transfer fee tax, making sure that if you're buying and selling real estate, like making money, you should be able to, you know, like provide some fund that will go towards an affordable housing trust fund that will be able to build housing, you know, for middle and low income people that want to live in the city. So it's and then right now we are also trying to also like tackle that also through condominium conversion. So there's like all the multiple tools in the toolbox. It's not a silver bullet in terms of like the affordability crisis. So there's a lot, you know, we've started hearing So Mike Connolly has been mentioning rent control, which is something I'm open to have that conversation about, but I don't know like how much.
Yeah, we did have rent control here up until the 90s, and it got voted out because it was a statewide ballot. It was only Brookline, Cambridge, and some in Boston, so the greater Boston area that had rent control, but it was a state ballot initiative, and people out in Springfield are voting on whether we should have rent control in Somerville.
Whoa, I see.
Didn't make sense to me, but unfortunately, it got overturned, and it became vacancy decontrol, so as people moved out, then the rent control was released, but if people who are still living in their apartments from the early 90s still have rent control, then I mean, imagine that's just a very small percentage at this point.
That is right. And I think one of the powerful tools that we are trying to use right now is zoning. Very, you know, we have a zoning overhaul, so we are rewriting our zoning in the city, because the last one was since 1990. So we are trying to make sure that if you're trying to build, maybe like build like a third unit apartment, if you want to change from like a second unit to third one, we want like a deed restricted third unit. So we are trying to look for ways that you can create housing and also keep it affordable, because usually people talk about affordability, like what does that mean? You know, and so the middle income class has been disappearing, and so we want to also make sure that, you know, those are the people too that we should also factor into the equation when we're talking about affordability, just so that we don't just end up with the very rich and the very poor. So that's
The cost of housing is just one side of this whole thing of economic justice.
That is right. It's a fundamental human right, Chuck. I mean, like, people should be able to, you know, I think housing,
afford to live in a place they want to live in. We're not telling them, you're saying that everybody should have a mansion if they want a mansion.
No, I don't think so either.
To be able to live comfortably in the city that you want to live in, because you happen to work in the city. So in terms of the economic justice side on making a wage to afford to live in the city, you're also very much involved with the campaign for a living wage.
Yes, no, I'm a big fan of, you know, I don't know, we need to keep pushing the boundaries, Chuck. Like this, you know, like, I don't understand, you know, every time, I must tell you, like, this is like not even like an economic, you know, like struggle. This is almost like a moral issue to me. Like, I think, you know, people deserve a living wage, you know, like people deserve to, you know, and one job should be enough. You don't have to work multiple jobs, you know, and so just living in a built-in bias system where, you know, just it only work for the wealthy, you know, and they keep wanting more for themselves and less for everybody else, you know, forcing people to work with reduced benefit, reduced pay, you know, ending overtime. I just cannot fathom that. And we live in one of the greatest nations on earth, you know, the wealthiest nation on earth, yet...
Yeah, who has the wealth is the question.
That is right. The 1%. So we've enacted a $15 living wage ordinance in the city, you know, so I still feel like it's still, I mean, I don't know, I just feel like it's still not enough, you know, but hey, I don't know, like, I'm not an economist.
All businesses in the city of Somerville have to pay their workers at least $15 an hour?
I mean, we haven't, you know, like, it's still in the works, but yeah, when we...
Then that's the goal.
Yes.
Are you getting pushback from small businesses that say they can't afford paying wages that high?
I mean, they know that, you know, I mean, we have a mandate. It's like we came, this new board, we have 5 new councillors that came on board.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at every single person, you know, because if it takes you a long time to know someone, then there's a problem. Like, every single councillor that got elected, like, came with a solid mandate to make a tremendous impact in the community. And so we haven't gotten any pushback yet. Maybe it's going to come with it. But, I mean, right now, fingers crossed, knock on wood, you know, like, we want to make something like that happen.
Yeah, it only seems fair for the worker.
That is right, you know. So, I mean, you cannot continue to, you know, be skimping, you know, on your employees' wages, you know, at the benefit, like, just, and most of these corporate places, Stop and Shop, in Target, Market, most of the CEOs, they are like hundreds of miles away.
Those aren't small businesses. I wasn't referring to them in terms of getting pushback, because they can afford to pay $15 an hour to their workers. There shouldn't be any problem there whatsoever.
Gotcha. No, I hear you. I mean, I think there's a way if a business come and justify, like, because I also don't want business, like, I'm not the kind of person that would want somebody to go out of business because, you know, they cannot have it. So, if you open the books and it makes sense that you cannot, you know, then we can understand. But if we can provide incentives just so that you can keep, you know, paying that living wage. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, I think the city can do a lot, you know. I believe that's where government can step in to incentivize these businesses that, you know, are genuine and that want to really, you know, help out, you know.
So you have the concept of government working for the people.
That, I mean, like, Chuck, I'm a proponent of the fact that government is supposed to work for the people. Each time, you know, the priority of the government changes, start looking after special interests and not looking after people, it's time for a new government. That's as simple as that. But that is why I feel, there's this notion that government as an institution is supposed to be distrusted. And so how do we not, so we are trying to diffuse that notion, just so that people can have trust back in government and know that, they can call us, they can pick up the phone, they can reach out, and we can, push the needle a little.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming, but we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
well in your government work, as well as being a parent to a young child, and also...
I got two kids.
Two kids now.
Yeah, so yeah, one is 6 months, Grace, and then Joy is 2 years, 7 months. And
oh, wow.
And also,
so that's
my beautiful
right
wife,
there.
Krista, yeah. No, my hands are full, so that's why when I go to City Hall, I do not have a second to, to think about. I just want to hit the ground running and, make sure that every single time, moment of my count, towards, the greater good. Because it's like I said, the fundamental goal of, is, for me personally, is to acquire knowledge and be of assistance to others, And so to have a government that can be, we can be the voice of reason for the common good, hey, I want to be that person.
Excellent. Well, you certainly have the heart and the mind in the right place for that. And
thank
we appreciate
you,
that.
I
and
take that as a compliment.
We appreciate you coming down here to tell us about it, too. Now, you serve on several committees, which is part of your job, but one committee that you're the chairman of is the one called Open Space, Environment, and Energy Committee.
Yes.
And so that takes in a lot. And on a very local level, you're essentially dealing with the issues of climate change.
That is right.
How is some people preparing for that uncertain future?
Wow.
That's a big one, I know.
Oh, wow, Chuck. That's a great question, And I know, that, Somerville, just like any other city, we are good at talking a good line, But I can tell you for a fact that we've taken some, approaches. There's we recently released this, the administration had this climate forward action plan that they put forward, and they all divided that into some priorities, in terms of the buildings. We want to get net zero and resilient new building standards. In Somerville, we also want to improve performance in existing buildings, and then in terms of mobility, we are looking forward to creating an equitable low carbon mobility, rapid transition to electric vehicles. That's on the mobility front. And then in terms of environmental front, we want to, stormwater management, to update our stormwater policies, management policies, and develop design guidelines. I think that will be, something that we're looking forward to expand our tree canopy, formalize and implement a modern urban forestry management plan that is, and including best management practices. And also reduce our consumption, in waste as well. So, but what I can tell you that this is just one of several things that we are working on, but I think we also, we need leadership, to be able to accomplish one of this stuff. For example, create a Mystic River Regional Coalition of neighboring municipalities to develop a cohesive regional strategy to push for state action, because this is not really a Somerville problem.
Right.
So this is a regional, and we need all that to happen. Assess potential intervention options to address flood risk along the Mystic. So this is there are several tools in the toolbox, but these are things that we can explore, as a community, and try to see how we can, be prepared, be ready to adapt, because it's already here. It's not something, of the past. It's, we are already in the middle of it.
Yes, it's here, and we've got to deal with the effects of what's coming.
I don't want to live underwater, No. My son and my daughter, I don't want them to live underwater in the next 100 years.
Some of them have several hills, so people can live in islands. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. screaming, tumbling, crying, girling, loving, rolling stone.
Progressive net zero building standards for new municipal buildings and those undergoing major renovations, you know, set renewable electricity standards for all existing and new municipal buildings. That's where you, that those are leadership, you know, have like state advocacy for carbon neutrality, advocate for building and energy codes that achieve net zero energy performance. Those are like things that we can do, you know, as a community. And also it takes some bold leadership to be able to accomplish that.
And you doing this in Somerville can show that Cambridge and Boston, bigger communities, can take on as well.
Absolutely.
And of course, it would be helpful if we had the federal government on our side, too. But that's a whole other issue.
You know, I mean, like, Somerville has never been shy of leading the way. That's one thing we are so proud about Somerville. It's always been, it has that revolutionary vibes. Like, you know, every time there's something happening, we take time, you know, like, synthesize ideas and then, you know, like, chart a way forward, and then before you know it, you know, like other neighboring towns and cities, they're like, hey, I think we can copy that.
All right, well, thank you for sharing that as well. And one more topic I wanted to hit upon, because you support groups like Boston's hashtag Stand With Immigrants. I mean, this is not surprising, as you yourself are an immigrant, and Somerville is a welcoming city.
Yeah, that's right.
So how do you feel as an immigrant about the anti-immigrant rhetoric coming out of the national debate these days?
Wow. I can... That's... I don't... How should I say this? Chuck, I don't see this, you know, as a political struggle or economic struggle. I see this as a moral issue, you know? And talking about immigration or immigrants, you know, basically it's not immigration is not something of the past. It's not something, you know, of the future. It's, that is the foundation of what this country is built on.
It is built on that. And it, we started the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, so it's not going away. It's not going away. It's not something that came and then it's long gone. Like, this is like the foundation of, so it's sad to see that every time, you know, people use other people to blame, you know, for issues. It's like there's no immigrant here that somebody ever handed anything to them. And people have worked hard, you know, paid their dues in some way, shape or form, and they are where they are, and people, you know, sit and say, oh, you're the cause of my problem. So I think in a way I can say that ignorance, you know, it's something that is really driving for this, you know, kind of conversation. But I also think that, you know, I think the American people are also better than this, you know. And so I feel really blessed and fortunate to be in an environment where, you know, people don't judge me by, you know, how I look or my accent, you know, but by the content of, you know, my character and who I am, you know. So it's that's why, like, Boston Stand with Immigrants, that is, you know, it's a great way to communicate that, you know, that people believe, you know, that everyone deserves to be, you know, live a dignified life and work hard and achieve, you know, things that they want to achieve. So we need to just keep, you know, focusing at the local level and creating policies that really protect everyone and just not get swayed away by this national drama and debate, you know, because it's so easy to, like, deviate people from even, you know, like, just feeding your just feeding you with bad information and just demoralizes you. But there's a lot that people can do just to continue to be who they are, you know, continue to, you know, share love, listen, learn with to people, and hear their stories. Because another thing is, if people don't know your story, they are very easy to tell your story on your behalf, and which is not really what you are, you know. So it's always the ability to be able to open up to new ideas and realize that, you know, our diversity as a community is our strength. That is key, you know, like, to who we are. That's our fabric, and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and the basic truth of this country is that we are a nation of immigrants.
That is right.
If it wasn't for immigrants, the only people to be here would be the Native Americans.
That is right, you know. And one thing that bothers me is that people forget so easily, you know. It's like, I just don't understand, like, if this is even, you know, if it's that they forget, or it's just that they just do this, you know, to gain some political gains or to fit into some people that have been fed up with the system, and then they're just trying to create, you know, like, blame someone, you know. Like, imagine, like, back in you know, like, I think I read somewhere, like, I think in the early, you know, 1930s or something, like, they had been blaming, you know, Mexicans, you know, for being partly, you know, for the Great Recession. There was the Great Recession in the 1930s, so there was some population that blamed Mexicans for that. So it's always like, it seems like it's just something. Even back in the days, I also read somewhere that, you know, even Europeans, when they were coming to America, they had to separate certain Europeans that they want to give them, you know, like, naturalization papers, you know, compared to. So it's a crazy system. I would just put it that way.
If it wasn't for immigrants, who would cook you Mexican food?
Oh, man, I know. You know, yeah, look at that. Look at the culture. Like, you know, you just remind me of the World Music Festival. You know, it's like, it was at the House of Blues, like, all this world music. Like, it just makes the people, it just brings a lot of life to a community. And they learn different things, learn different perspective, and enrich, you know, themselves and their neighborhood.
and you're doing what you can from your neighborhood, the neighborhood of Somerville, the city of Somerville. I know you've got to head up to City Hall shortly. I thank you for coming down here and sharing your thoughts with us. I just wanted to know if there's anything else you'd like to tell the listeners or how to engage with the city of Somerville for those of people who live in Somerville.
Like the people that live in Somerville, I want them to know that I love them. You know, they're doing great, and that they should... You know, reach out to me anytime there are issues with their concerns, you know, and, you know, just wanted to encourage them that, you know, that it's, things are gonna get better, you know, and for those that, you know, like distrust government as an institution, that there's still hope, you know, and that, you know, they should be involved in the community, especially now that we are talking about so many important issues that we just passed the recent condominium convention and that we are working on zoning. They should pay attention to it because when we finally vote on it, it's going to affect, you know, the city for the next 50 to 100 years. So it's that they should reach out to me, you know, Alderman Mba. mbah@gmail.com with concerns, questions, you know.
How do you spell your last name?
M as in man, B as in boy, A as in apple, H as in house. And sometimes I still have the same email even though we've moved from alderman to city councilor, but I still have, like, my email is aldermanmba@gmail.com. So yeah, and also they can find me on Facebook, you know, Will Mba. That's my, you know, Facebook name, my campaign page, and they should reach out to me, and I'm always there to listen and to hear their concerns and try to also be an advocate for them, because I know that there are people that care for the community and want, you know, the community to grow and thrive.
Well, thank you for doing your part, and I'll let you go now to get up to City Hall of Somerville to go up and advocate for all of Somerville residents.
Thank you, Chuck. I really appreciate it. Today we're going to be talking about traffic, so anybody that, you know, care about traffic in Somerville should go. There's a public hearing, you know, tonight at 6 p.m. They should come up to City Hall and express their concerns, because, you know, it's traffic and parking is one of the biggest issues going on right now.
Yeah, especially in Ball Square right now.
Oh yeah, you know it. There's a bridge closure in Ball Square. The Washington Bridge is gonna be closed soon. So it's a show right now. So come and tell us how you feel, what your concerns are, and you can be rest assured that we take them very seriously.
Well, thank you for your time and for all that you do.
Thank you, Chuck.
You've been listening to the Tears of the Gods sound collage only here on WMFO in Medford. We are Tufts Freeform Community Radio, and we have been bringing you an experimental, psychedelic, and Somerville-filled sonic collage experience this evening. You first heard from me about 55 minutes ago when we started a big long set that started off with Somerville resident at the time, Deb Henconant and the Macho Dogs of Somerville. And then we went through a whole bunch of music from the Baka people of Southeast Cameroon and the German electronic band Tangerine Dream, several selections from their Dream Roots collection. And we were also had Jimi Hendrix, another selection from our featured album, Both Sides of the Sky. And mixed in various places on top of that was an outstanding interview with Somerville City Councilor William Fred Mba, who's from Cameroon. And he was interviewed by journalist, anarchist, reporter extraordinaire Chuck Yu, originally on our sister station, WMBR. But this evening here on WMFO, backing me up right now is Tangerine Dream with a final selection from the Dream Roots collection. This is Barbican Part 1. Stay tuned for Tangerine Dream fan Savoir Faire with Songs from the Squid Pod. Get your full hour of 80s music in this evening here on WMFO in Medford.